I stood in the courtroom. The judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up. Your Honor, I have no defense. But that's when
First Samuel this morning, but I did want to take a few minutes, First Samuel chapter 18, and just give you some updates about the camp. It is great to be here. It's always great to be here. I was just thinking, I think the last time I spoke here was for your anniversary. Is that correct?
Yeah, the church's anniversary.
And I saw it on the website that it's coming around again.
Yep. 51
real
years.
Soon.
Yep.
51 years. Praise the Lord. Well, that is awesome. Well, it's good to be back. I do have some updates I want to give you. Things are rolling pretty good there at the camp. We are in the middle of staff training currently, and they have one more week of staff training. to do this week, and then we will be doors open, gates open, and campers rolling in. And so we're really excited about the summer. We're excited about what God is going to do. If you remember anything that I say this morning, remember the fact that I'm asking you to pray for each one of these campers that are going to step foot on property this year. We have got to reach our young people in this world that we live in today. It's amazing to me this to really see the confusion in the United States of America that we're witnessing every day. I mean, just turn on the news if you haven't noticed already what we're dealing with. I was listening to, I guess it was a newscast or something, and this morning on the way over here, and it was the Secretary of the Army, I think she said she was, and they were discussing the ability for women recruits to have access to abortion, and she was calling it a health need or a medical need for them to have access. And I'm just screaming at the dashboard the whole time, there's nothing medical and there's no need. It is murder. And our children are growing up in this world today, hearing these things constantly. Some of our staff, we spent the last 3 days at the homeschool conference, and we had a blast. I talked to more people than I think I've ever talked to in my entire life, but I do that every year there. So many people, and I'm thankful for the folks that are there who are dedicated to teaching their children Bible. And we were talking on the way home about some of the confusion between the generations that my staff grew up in and then the generation I grew up in, and just what young people are facing today. I often wonder what it would have been like if I were to grow up as a young person today. And many of you, more senior than me, have maybe thought about that when I was coming up. I'm sure it wasn't perfect when I was coming up either. But it's very interesting what we face. And so we're thankful that God has blessed us with a ministry that we can reach out to children and young people and young adults and even senior adults. And so we're thankful for that. I do want to give you some updates. First of all, my wife told me as I was bailing out the door this morning, she said, now don't you forget to tell Holly Hills how thankful we are for providing those lights for our dining hall. You would not believe how bright and shiny that building is now. I think we even clean it better because we can see more. We're talking about where you sit and eat, not the kitchen. The kitchen is bright and clean. But we are very thankful for the gift that this church provided to be able to change those lights, and we got them up and we're ready to go, and so it's been really exciting for us. And we believe that the electric bill has dropped close to 15% by changing all those lights. And so it's huge. It's a huge blessing to us. In the midst of all that, I did bring just a few things up here. They're sitting beside Pastor. We have our latest 2023 ministry update booklet. And so we want to leave you with a bunch of these, and it kind of, as normal, just kind of gets you updated on where we're at. But there is a brand new page in here that we're excited to share with you, and you'll see it toward the back. It is our Edge to Go International Ministry. We have gone live with Edge to Go International. Before we even opened the website and really started promoting it, we've already picked up a couple monthly supporters. And so God is blessing this ministry. There's no turning back now. We know the doors are open, and so we're moving forward. I actually meet with our first missionaries this week about going to Dominican Republic in December. And so we're excited about that. We have some other missionaries that we're meeting with to set up a trip for every single year moving forward. We're excited for that opportunity. Our staff is excited. But not only that, that gives folks like you that ever wake up one morning and go, I wonder what it would be like to take a missions trip. Well, go to our website, apply, submit your information, and let us know you would love to go on one of these Edge to Go international trips. And I'm sure we can find a way to put you to work overseas. All right, so look for that on our website. There's other information in here. Also, we're working on our staff housing project right now. By accident, really, I think I've mentioned it here before about the need of staff housing. We have 12 full-time staff now. We're going to be hiring more throughout this year, so housing is a problem. I don't know what it is, but when you hire a couple or young people, they don't really like to live in a tent year-round, and so we have to provide a place for these folks to live. as they come on board to our ministry. And so we had a banquet dinner, and there was a builder that came to the banquet dinner, him and his wife, and he wanted a tour, and so we gave him a tour of the camp. And he just looked over at the house across the way from our office. Maybe you that have been there know what I'm talking about. It's an old abandoned house that was there across from the office, kind of tucked in the woods there. And I said, yeah, we want to remodel that into a home someday and then eventually turn it into the main corporate offices because it could be multi-purpose. I said, but we're just praying about the whole staff housing situation and when we can begin doing that. We're just waiting for God to open the door. And he said, okay, well, we'll pray about it. And so like a week later, he called me back. He said, hey, me and my guys are going to come over and make sure you're there because we want to reframe that whole house for you and get it started. And I said, well, we need to raise the money and get some lumber in here. I haven't really promoted anybody. Oh, don't worry about it. It's already on the way. It's being delivered. So I went into the office and I said, Jen, I think we're going to start our first staff house by force. And that's exactly what happened. Him and his men came over, and in 2 days, they had reframed the whole interior to my 3D CAD model of what we would like it to look like. They reframed the entire thing, and now in 2 days, that's a lot of work because when they started digging in, they realized that the flooring and all the floor joists were completely rotted. And so we literally jacked the entire exterior of this house off the ground to replace all the flooring and every floor joist in this house and all the plywood. And so they did all this in like 2 days. There were machines. And so that's been done. And along the way, many other things have come to fruition through that. The roofing material, there was a roofer that called me and said, hey, we want to donate 12 of the 22 square that you need for your roofing. And so we're going to have that sent to you. All the windows, brand new windows and the sliding glass doors were all donated by a window company. All the plumbing supplies were donated and dropped off there in the yard. All the electrical supplies was donated and dropped off in the yard. All the HVAC material and all the labor, they actually just finished the rough end yesterday, was donated and installed. All the interior trim and all the labor for that has already been donated when we get to that timing. There is a company looking at donating all the insulation needed throughout the house. There's another company communicating with us about donating all the drywall and the drywall mud and tape and things to get it done. There is a company in North Carolina looking at our cabinet design and soon to give us a decision if they're going to donate all the cabinets and have them shipped to the camp. And then there's also a company looking at supplying all the vinyl siding and soffit to put on the exterior of the home. So here's where we're at. This is what we're praying about. I have not heard from an interior door company, a flooring company, and we need more laborers. Because we're going into summer camp and all those materials I just listed are sitting in the living room of this framed home because we have no time to go out and work on it. And so if you have skills and talents and you're bored to death, then call me. I'll feed you. You can work a day or two, put in a window, put some Tyvek paper up, rip off old shingles, get it ready for the new shingles. I say all that jokingly. God knows where we're at, and God is obviously supplying to get this done. As soon as this house is done, our engineering firm is working with Surrey County, and we'll be starting that 20-home subdivision very soon, and so we're really excited about that. Also, I brought one of our new rat cards real quickly. This is a vision and planning conference, and I bring this because I never know what all everybody does for a living. I don't think all of you just wake up on Monday mornings and say, I don't think I'm going to work today, and then just quit. And so many of you have jobs. Many of you have ministries. And so this August, two dear friends of mine, one of them is Pastor Tim Cruz. He pastors a church in Charlotte, North Carolina. And the other one is Charles Prescott, who was the CFO for the Crown College, now is partnered with a pastor in Florida. We three have gotten together and have realized there's a need for pastors, for church leadership, for ministry leaders, and some Christian businesses, CEOs. And we've decided to put together a three-day vision and planning conference. And so what are some of the example sessions? We're going to talk about staff management, financial planning, facility planning, site planning, ministry program planning, vision and goals, servant leadership, maintenance planning, financial management, funding, and fundraising. The three of us are really excited about putting on this conference and having all these sessions that different folks can go and pick and choose from. And so if there is some interest of this to you, I do have some of these sitting up here. And then other things that are going on at the camp is just our excitement level is raising because God is blessing over and over and over again. It's really exciting to see what God is doing, and not just in the facilities, not just in what is going on there on the physical camp, because camp really isn't about property and it isn't about program. It's about God's work. It's about sharing the gospel. It's about discipling young people and old people alike and getting the word of God in their hearts. And we see that time and time and time again. And we're just so thankful for what God is doing there at the Edge Christian Camp. And we're excited to see some of your young people here in just a few weeks. We are looking forward to camp. I'm thankful already it has not been as hot this year as it has been in the past. And so be praying with us that maybe this summer is all 70 degrees. And maybe some of these environmental people that say the earth's about to burn down will be quiet and we can move on. But I am pretty excited that it hasn't been hot yet. But the one downfall with that is the pool's been full of water for 2 weeks and I still would not get in it. The water is still kind of chilly. But you young people can do what you want. This morning we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 18 if you want to go with me there. This morning I want to talk about this idea of being a real friend. You know, I sit in the Sunday school class that's in here. I don't know what Sunday school class that is. I don't know if it's old people, young people, middle people, but we were all the same people and the Sunday school class was phenomenal and our speaker was phenomenal. And as he was talking about this idea of maybe some things that people would say to offend you, here's what came to my mind, and I didn't speak up because I wanted to use it this morning. Being a real friend, when I think about the Sunday school class this morning and the message that I put together for the day, I think about something that I would call a hypocritical friend. And what do I mean by that? I think if I take my camp director, Kerry Charles, which you know very well, he's a dear friend of mine, if I take him to lunch and we have great conversations, and then I take your pastor to lunch the very next day, and I tell your pastor everything about Kerry Charles that I'm not liking or I'm not satisfied with. And when I think about that, is that truly making me a real friend? No. So let's look at this here. Let's jump in and then we'll pick it apart. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time as we come together this morning. I thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy and your love that you have toward each one of us. I pray, Father, that you give me the words to speak this morning as we look at this relationship between Jonathan and David. And as we consider the relationships that we have today, but Lord, most importantly, help us consider the relationship that we have with you. Lord, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We look at this life of David during this time. If you jump back with me just one more chapter, a few verses up in verse 54 of 17, it says, "And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And then Saul saw David go forth unto the Philistine. He said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell." This is just after here David has killed Goliath. You know the story. We won't go all back into that. But we have this relationship that begins here with David and Jonathan. It has been said that a man is fortunate if he has five real friends in his lifetime. I look back in my life and I had a dear friend of mine. I would consider him my best friend during the time I lived there in Spotsylvania, Virginia, and I went to public school, and my neighbor was the grandparents of this friend of mine. And so they lived in D.C. Father and mother worked in D.C., and so he lived in D.C. He went to private school there in D.C. But they would come down on the weekends. So every weekend, we would get to see each other and hang out and do things. And all of us, we loved riding ATVs and having just a good time. And so we were very adventurous young people. We would take our ATVs and try to find the biggest hill we could to jump. And not me, but he ended up breaking his leg. But, you know, that's what boys do. And so I remember this time, but I also remember the time when that friendship I started to realize wasn't a true friendship. And let me tell you why. Because I was very interested in being in my place Sunday morning. And in the beginning, he was okay coming with me. And it was fun. We'd be in Sunday school together, and we would sit through church together. But over time, he realized, I think in his mind, that he was only down for the weekend and he didn't want to burn up his whole Sunday morning being in church. And so I had to make a decision in my life. Was I going to change my ways and not attend church? Or was I going to continue to stay faithful and let him decide what he was going to do? Well, what happened was he decided that he was going to do what he was going to do, and I had to step away. Many years that went on, and our friendship began to break apart because we were seeing different views. We were looking at life a little differently. But over the years, he ended up marrying a friend that my wife and I had knew. And long story short, she got him straight. And how I know this is because he races dirt bikes. And there was a dirt bike race on the camp property that we had purchased before we had gotten there. And he shows up. And I see him after many, many years of not seeing him. And our new conversation began to be about Christ and how he got saved and how he's living his life with his wife and his children, and that he's having a good time riding his motorcycle. And that relationship was brought back together. So when you think about this, a man is fortunate if he has five real friends. I want us all to consider this morning the true friends in our life. A real friendship is one that is tried and true, one that will stand the test of adversity. Jonathan here was Saul's youngest son, a prince, a veteran warrior, and supposedly the heir to the throne of Israel. David, however, was the son of an ordinary citizen, a shepherd who suddenly became a national hero. David had been anointed the next king, and yet God gave Jonathan a great admiration and love for David. Just to bring it into picture, it seems as though they immediately had a remarkable relationship. But how many true friends do we have? Many of us have friends or acquaintances, and I'm going to use Facebook. Maybe you have thousands of friends on Facebook. Are they true friends? How about those in your life that you may say hi to? Are those true friends? These folks that we call friends aren't necessarily the true friends that we have in our life. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." If it is our goal to be like Christ, we must remember that Christ is described as a friend. Walter Winchell said, "A real friend is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out." Can I ask you this morning, are you the one that walks in when others walk out. Lawrence Peter said, you can always tell a real friend. When you've made a fool of yourself, he doesn't feel you've done a permanent job. Many of us go through life and we meet many people and we meet many acquaintances. As I said, I was at the homeschool conference these last few days and I met a lot of people. And I really enjoy talking to people and learning about their life and hearing how God has done amazing things in their life. And you get at the homeschool conference, you get a lot of moms that share with you how much they love their children, and it's great. They're living a life of peacefulness, but that doesn't make every one of these folks my friend. But it can make them my friend. And what do I mean by that? When I go and I begin to care for these folks, when I begin to have a heart for these folks, when I begin to add them to my prayer list. You see, because everyone in this world today is facing the same challenges that we face. Many of us may go home tonight, we'll have our bowl of ice cream after supper, and maybe we'll turn on the news to see what's going on in the world around us, and we're sitting there in our chair enjoying our chocolate ice cream and having the same frustration that your neighbor's having, and the next person that's having, and the next person that's having. You see, God did not save us and leave us without a purpose. We have a purpose of being here. And one of these purposes, I believe, God gave us his word here, sharing with us the relationship that Jonathan and David had. To be a real friend. Jonathan, well, let's just look at it. Let's look at the friendship of Jonathan and David. First, we see Jonathan's generosity. Look at verse 4. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. Think about this. Jonathan was supposedly to be the next heir of the throne, the next one in line, and he just gives all of his stuff to David. Many of us in the room could probably place ourselves in that position and say, well, my father is the king, and I'm next in line, and so I'm going to hang on to my stuff. I'm going to hang on to my sword. I'm going to hang on to my shield. I'm going to hang on to my armor. These are all my things because I'm next in line. But Jonathan had a relationship with David, knowing that David was to be anointed as king. And he gave of these things. He gave of his resources. These resources are a source or a supply, something meaningful. Can I challenge us this morning? What do we have in our lives that's meaningful that could be a huge blessing to someone else? And I don't preach about giving money. I don't preach about just doing handouts. But what I am preaching about is being generous. God has blessed each one of us beyond all measure. Every one of us are here this morning. We're all in our dress clothes. You all look sharp. I don't know what I look like. Many of you got up this morning. You had breakfast. You drove your vehicle here. We are blessed beyond measure. What friends in our lives today should we have a heart for that has a need? Jonathan's generosity, he gave of his resources. I often look around the camp and I look around my house and I've done this in the past and I say, you know, there's a lot of things that I have never looked at, touched. We moved from Fredericksburg. Many of you know this story. We moved from a 3,000 square foot home to a 700 square foot apartment that we built like overnight at camp. Well, if you know anything about math, you don't fit 3,000 square foot worth of furniture into a 700 square foot room. And so things needed to be stored. And I told my wife it would only be 6 months and that we would have a place to live to put all this in. I'm sure of it. My wife still jokes with me today. This is the longest 6 months I've ever lived. But I look around and, you know, we went through and obviously we got rid of stuff that others could have better use with than us. And so we look through these things and we say, what items are we holding on to that really have no purpose that could fulfill a need of someone else? When I think of generosity, I think of that. And I'm not saying that to be prideful or boastful, but sometimes we just have stuff in corners that we haven't looked at in years. And it could help someone else. I have been known at the camp to give away too much stuff, is what I've been told. And so there's some places I'm just not allowed, like the ice cream shop. In the bookstore. They still let me in the dining hall for now, but that may come to a close soon. When we think of generosity, we think of our resources. How can we be a blessing to someone else? Jonathan's generosity also included his time. Look at the first three verses here in chapter 19. And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in the secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee. Jonathan gave of his time. Jonathan gave of the time to be there by his father to let David know what was going on. Jonathan could have went home and went to bed. Think about that in our lives today. Our time is precious, right? Everybody would agree to that. Our time is precious. We love our time. When I got home from the conference last night, I walked in, I told Jennifer I love her, and she's like, where are you going? I said, I'm going to bed. I'm very tired. But then I remembered, I turned around and I said, there's no fires on camp, right? She said, no. Then I'm going to bed. Silly example, but our time is precious to us. Think about your time. How much time are you willing to give up for someone else? Jonathan here gave of his time. He stayed up all night long, giving of his time. Not only that, he gave his influence in verses 4 and through 7 in that same chapter 19. He gave his influence, and Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his words have been to thee word very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought the great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan. And Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in the presence as in times past. He gave of his influence to have an effect on someone. We think about how can we influence those around us. Well, we must give time for sure, but we can also give of our influence. I love to work with young people and be able to share with them and to be able to counsel with them. Same as adults. I love the opportunities I have to sit and work with adults and families and different situations. I look forward to this vision and planning conference where I'll have an opportunity to work with others just to share the things that God has given me. And many of us have been through situations and circumstances in our life that I will never face, that you could be an influence on my life. How can you invest in those around you? We think of our young people in the church today. Many of you, I think all of you, are in the room this morning. How can we influence these young people? Because our influence is going to impact them way better than what the world is doing and how the world is influencing them. And so let's invest in giving our influence. Jonathan's generosity, he gave of his resources, he gave of his time, and he gave of his influence. And then secondly, we see Jonathan's consistency. He was a friend in the good circumstances, verses 1 through 3 in chapter 18, which we read. But not only that, he was a friend in bad circumstances, 1 Samuel 20, verses 1 through 42. You see, a good friend is going to be there in the good circumstances, and they're going to be there in the bad circumstances. No matter what folks are facing, we should always be there as a friend. I know the February 13th of this year, I was driving to Richmond to visit my mom, who was in the hospice care, the hospice house. They had taken her from the hospital, moved her to this hospice house, which is very nice, by the way. And I went to visit her that morning. Dad had called and said, "Doesn't really look good." So I went and visited, and sure enough, Mom was just really not even there. I think she was already given up. She was done. Got no communication out of her that morning. She didn't wake up. And it was about 1 o'clock. The family that were there and many of my friends that were there, we came in the room and we joined hands around the bed and we prayed. We just said, "Lord, you're in control. And if this is Mom's time, then just take her peacefully." And so we prayed. And as we said amen, I noticed Mom's chest not moving anymore. I was holding her hand. And in that moment, she had went home to be with the Lord. And I think of those friends that were around my family. Those that had a heart. Those that cared. Those that could be there. But then the very next day, many of these friends were with me at VCU. Because the very next morning on Valentine's Day, many of you may know, she had surgery to remove a tumor. And we were there in the hospital and my wife was nervous. And I said, "God's in control. We'll get through this." And she went back to that room and she had surgery to remove a grapefruit-sized tumor. And I thought and prayed that morning with my friends and my family, "Lord, you can't take her home. I still need her." But I give you that to say that I had true friends there with me. And I want to be that friend. I want to be that friend that is consistent. No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, no matter that whatever is going on in my life, that I can make time for those around me to be a good friend, to be a true friend, to have a heart of Christ. To have a heart that loves, to have a heart that cares. You see, Jonathan was there for David in the good and the bad. And we can say, "Well, I can't be there for everything. I'm tied up here or I'm tied up there." And sometimes in my life, I want to be able to just stop what I'm doing and say, "I have a heart to do this." To be a good friend, to have consistency in my life. Third, we see Jonathan's support. Go with me to 1 Samuel 23. We see Jonathan's support here, verses 15 to 18. It says, "And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph, in the wood, And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul, my father, knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Jonathan's support. Jonathan was supporting David throughout this. And we know through the story, many of you have studied it, if King Saul would have just been a mentor, would have just been a blessing, this relationship would have gone completely different. However, King Saul had pride. King Saul was so worried about what David was going to become that he couldn't concentrate on what King Saul had already become. He was king. He could have become a mentor. He could have become a friend. He could have become a help. But he allowed the sin of pride and worry to overcome his life. And ultimately, you see whose hand God was on. It wasn't on the hand of Saul, it was on the hand of David. Saul loses his life. David continues on. So we see this support by Jonathan. Verse 16, we see that he reached out to him. We also see that he lifted him up. Let me read you this story. I think we have time. One day, when I was a freshman in high school, I saw a kid from my class was walking home from school. His name was Kyle. It looked like he was carrying all of his books. I thought to myself, why would anyone bring home all his books on a Friday? He must really be a nerd. I had quite a weekend planned. Football game with my friends tomorrow afternoon. So I shrugged my shoulders and went on. As I was walking, I saw a bunch of kids running toward him. They ran at him, knocked all of his books out of his arms, and tripped him so he landed in the dirt. His glasses went flying, and I saw them land in the grass about 10 feet from him. He looked up, and I saw the terrible sadness in his eyes. My heart went out to him. So I jogged over to him, and as he crawled around looking for his glasses, I saw a tear in his eye. As I handed him his glasses, I said, those guys are jerks. They really should get lives. He looked at me and said, thanks. There was a big smile on his face. It was one of those smiles that showed real gratitude. I helped him pick up his books and asked him where he lived. As it turned out, he lived near me, so I asked why I'd never seen him before. He said he had gone to a private school before now. I would have never hung out with a private school kid before. We talked all the way home, and I carried his books. He turned out to be a pretty cool kid. I asked him if he wanted to play football on Saturday with me and my friends, and he said yes. We hung out all weekend, and the more I got to know Kyle, the more I liked him. And my friends thought the same of him. Monday morning came, and there was Kyle with a huge stack of books again. I stopped him and said, boy, you're really going to get some serious muscles with that pile of books you carry every day. He just laughed and handed me half of the books. Over the next 4 years, Kyle and I became best friends. When we were seniors, began to think about college, Kyle decided to go to Georgetown as I was going to Duke. I knew that we would always be friends and that the miles would never be a problem. He was going to be a doctor and I was going for business. Kyle was a valedictorian of our class. I teased him all the time about being a nerd. He had to prepare a speech for graduation. I was so glad it wasn't me having to get up there and speak. Graduation day, I saw Kyle. He looked great. He was one of those guys that really found himself during high school. He filled out and actually looked good in glasses. He had more dates than me, and all the girls loved him. Boy, sometimes I was jealous. Today was one of those days. I could see that he was nervous about his speech. So I smacked him on the back and said, hey, big guy, you'll be great. He looked at me with one of those looks "They're really grateful," one and smiled. "Thanks," he said. And as he started his speech, he cleared his throat and began. "Graduation is a time to thank those who helped you make it through those tough years. Your parents, your teachers, your siblings, maybe your coach, but mostly your friends. I am here to tell you that being a friend to someone is the best gift you can give them. I am going to tell you a story. I just looked at my friend with disbelief as he told the story of the first day we met. He had planned to kill himself over the weekend. He talked of how he had cleaned out his locker so his mom wouldn't have to do it later and carried his stuff home. He looked hard at me and gave me a little smile. Thankful I was saved. My friend saved me from doing the unspeakable." I heard the gasp go through the crowd as this handsome, popular boy told all about his weakest moment. I saw his mom and dad looking at me, smiling with the same grateful smile. Not until that moment did I realize its depth of friendship. We read stories such as that all the time. We counsel young people. And we hear those stories. But can I encourage you this morning, even as an adult, there are adults that need true friends. Those that we can reach out to and be a blessing to. Be a real friend. Not only do we see Jonathan's generosity, his consistency, and his support, but let me remind you of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A true friend. You see Jesus Christ has generosity. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ loved us enough that he gave his life for you and me. A generosity that we could never imagine. The love that Jesus Christ has for you and me is unmatchable. There's nothing that we can do to gain our gift of eternal salvation. God has given it as a free gift. How about God's consistency? God's word never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and for all eternity. The inspired word of God we have in our hands this morning. Isn't that amazing? And it's consistent from Genesis to Revelation. But not only do we see God's generosity and God's consistency, but we see God's support. As I spoke of this morning, how much are you truly blessed? You think about the blessings in our lives today. Our wonderful God will never leave us nor forsake us. He is with us each and every day, each and every situation, no matter the circumstances. He reaches out to us. I thank the Lord for my Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As we consider this being a real friend this morning, one, would you consider being generous, being consistent, and giving support? But not only that, would you consider the friendship you have in Jesus Christ? If you're here this morning and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray today would be the day you make that decision. That's the best decision you're going to make in your entire life.
Right.
You want a friend that's going to stick you closer than a brother. I encourage you, give your all to Jesus Christ this morning.
Amen.
Jonathan was a dear friend to David. You read through those chapters 18 to 23, you see that relationship. You see the love that Jonathan had for David. And you see the humbleness that David had. But we see all the way through Scripture, from beginning to end, the love that Jesus Christ has for us.
Yeah. Amen.
How are you living your life this morning? Father, I pray as Pastor comes to close, I pray this morning As everyone stands, head bowed, eye closed. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would touch our hearts. As we consider this being a true friend, as we look at the life of Jonathan and David, I pray, Father, you would show us in our hearts any areas that we need to confess. Lord, would you convict us this morning? Show us in our lives the things that are hindering us from our growing with you. As the piano plays this morning, I want to just ask each one of you, if you be honest with yourself this morning, if you be honest and say, Lord, you really spoke to my heart this morning, there's some areas of my life where I need to become a better friend. If that's you, would you just lift up your hand? You would say, Lord, there's areas of my life that I need to be a better friend. If you're here this morning, and you would say, I've never given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have a time in my life where I have asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save my soul. There's never been a day in my life where I've asked Christ to forgive me for my sins, and I've given my life wholeheartedly over to him. If you're here this morning and you have not done that, would you be willing to just lift up your hand? I want to pray for you. Is there anyone like that this morning? I pray this morning as we turn it over to Pastor, that if you raise your hand and say, Lord, you spoke to my heart this morning, there's some areas of my life that I need to work on. I pray this morning you come forward to the front pew, to the altar, to just let the Lord work through your praying. Give it all to God this morning. Don't leave here saying, I hope I'm going to be a better friend. We have hope in Jesus Christ. You want to be a better friend, you can be a better friend. If you want to be used by the Lord each and every day, God can be with you. Take this time this morning.